Hey guys, Eric Lindeen here. I'm the lead pastor of Mosaic Church in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and transforms you, and that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Well, again, good to see you all in your smiling faces. Man, what a beautiful Sunday. Amen. God is good. Amen. All the time. How many of you guys know 2024 is an election year? Yay! How many of you guys know there are people in this room that are going to vote differently than each other in this room? Yeah! And you know what I say to that? Praise God. Because what unites us is way stronger than what divides us. Amen? Because we're not going to let an election come between us and Jesus. Amen? And so even if the person next to you is going to vote a little differently than you, that's okay. Because we are united in Christ. Amen. With election years, a lot of us pastors are nervous about this. Right, Ben? My friend, Pastor Ben back there, he leads Northridge Church. And because elections can be very contentious. And so it's like we've been praying as pastors, I know, like, God, let us have unity in Christ. We don't want these things to be a distraction from what God has called us to do. But with elections comes a lot of, like, politically correct talk, right? Like, there's certain words you can say, certain things you can't say, right? And like growing up, you kind of just said your piece a lot. There weren't a lot of what's called trigger words, right? But now there are these like trigger words you can't say. Now we're gonna list all the trigger words. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We're not gonna do that, right? Right. But one of the kind of the trigger words for me that I hear myself say, or my kids, or others, is the word easy. Now you might be like, Eric, why is that a trigger word? Because I don't believe God wants us to take the easy way out, amen? But so often we are looking for what is easy and what's comfortable. And so when people say, well, what's just the easiest way we can do this? What's just the easy pathway forward? That is not what I believe what Jesus has for us. Jesus said, love your enemies. Jesus said that when someone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. Jesus said, don't just forgive 7 times, but 70 times 7. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Come follow me. Die to yourself. Like, these are hard things. And I think sometimes we struggle because we think it should be easier when we're confronted with things that are hard. But the reality is life is hard, amen? And Jesus calls us to do hard things. Now, this sermon, I'm preaching to myself just as much. We're working our way through the book of Luke, because we love books of the Bible here at Mosaic. And we find ourselves in Luke chapter 5. You can turn there if you want, verse 17. Now, this is a passage I've preached many times before. It's a good go-to for youth pastors. Josh has probably preached this. I'm sure Ben's preached this before. But as I thought about this, I thought, God, what do you want to speak to us tonight from this text? And I thought, Jesus wants us to do hard things. Not just look for the easy way. To acknowledge life is hard, and he's called us to do tough things. To love, to serve, to point people to Jesus. I'm gonna pray one more time, and then we're gonna dive in tonight as we just look at this text, Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are in this place. You are holy. God, you're so much above and beyond us that our minds can't even comprehend it, and yet you came down to earth clothed in flesh because you saw how helpless we were. God, thank you for that. And so we just ask that we'd get a little bit clearer picture of who you are and what you're calling us to do, and God, that we just have some encouragement in our hearts and our minds and our souls this evening. In your name we pray, amen. Well, again, this story we're gonna read in Luke 5 also shows up in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. And Mark tells us that Jesus has been traveling around different cities, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, performing miracles. And where our story picks up, Jesus had been kind of back at his home base, a small town called Capernaum. And word has gotten out that Jesus is healing people. And so Jesus is going to go teach at someone's house. All right, so this week I was kind of looking again at kind of our church, who we are. Roughly, we have 45 adults that call Mosaic Church home. And 41 maybe, depends how you count, but 41 of us have a weekly community group that we're a part of like almost every single week. So this is like Jesus showing up at your community group. That's a good week, right? Like, I know you guys have like appetizer Wednesdays, and I'm sure that's the glory of God is there, but if Jesus in the flesh shows up, like, that's even better than appetizer Wednesdays or cereal potlucks or whatever you might do. So Jesus is gonna show up at their community group. Well, last week we heard this amazing story where this man with full of leprosy, in Dr. Luke's medical opinion, comes into the city where he wasn't supposed to go. He comes to Jesus begging for a word of healing. Does Jesus speak healing over him? No, Jesus enters the man's brokenness by touching him, something this man hasn't felt in, who knows, 10 or 20 years, any kind of touch, and he heals him. And so there's these four buddies, and they got a friend, and he's paralyzed. We don't know. Maybe this friend was always paralyzed. Maybe they work on a construction site, and an accident happened, and he can't walk. But they heard, wow, the Jesus who reaches out and touches lepers, he can heal. We got to get our friend to Jesus. And so they're saying, we got to do whatever we can to get our friend to Jesus. Well, it must have taken them a while. They got to build like some kind of stretcher for Jesus or for their friend to get him. But by the time they get there to this community group where Jesus is showing up, it's full. There is no room. Mark's gospel tells us there's not even room outside the door. So Luke 5, verse 17. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. All right, so the room was filled up, and Dr. Luke tells us mostly with religious Pharisees, teachers of the law. These are the guys who get there early to take the good seats for themselves. They got their smartphones out, ready to criticize Jesus on Twitter or TikTok or whatever it might be, right? They're sitting there waiting for Jesus to make a mistake. And now Luke includes this detail that I think is pretty significant. He says they were sitting in this room. Now for us, this is normal. Like, I stand to speak, you guys sit. But in Jesus' day, usually the teacher would sit as the one place of authority and people would stand. Because, right, like if your community group was packed with people, you'd take the chairs out, you'd want to get as many people as possible to stand. But these religious leaders are like not willing to admit that Jesus is the authority. So they're sitting there instead of standing. Because they don't want to acknowledge him. So we've got a room full of religious people who refuse to make room for others to come and get near Jesus. Now, that never happens today, right? In any kind of places where religious people get in the way of people meeting Jesus. Sometimes, right? Let's read on. Verse 18. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. Again, these friends are willing to do whatever it takes to get their buddy to Jesus. They go through the door, through the window. There's no way in. And so again, in Jesus' day, you'd have a big kind of houses, one big room. And then up on top, often it was a flat place. Sometimes you'd go there, and, you know, in the cool of the evening, you'd hang out. So they went up, you know, probably this stairway or some kind of stretcher, but a ladder, but they're carrying their buddy on a stretcher up these stairs. You know, it's probably this homemade thing. He's getting ready. He's like, I don't know what's going to go on. But, you know, one of them has the bright idea. Let's dig through the roof and drop him down through the ceiling because we're going to do whatever it takes to get him to Jesus. So Jesus is teaching, and again, you gotta just think about this, like the room is packed and all of a sudden some dirt falls on Jesus' head. Like, what is going on? They look up and you just see some faces in the crowd or up there, right? And they start dropping their buddy through the roof. Like, if I'm the friend, I'm like, well, what are we doing here, right? Like he is nervous and this is what's happening though. But these friends are willing to do whatever it takes to get their buddy to Jesus. First thing I want us to think about this evening is, number one, if you're taking notes, take inventory of your friendships. Take inventory of your friendships. See, we all have different kinds of friends in our lives. We have those neighborhood buddies that we hang out with playing poker until midnight. You know, we got those friends we go to the zoo with. We got community group friends, our church friends, whatever it is. But what kind of friends do we have? Do we have some friends in our lives who are willing to do whatever it takes to bring us to Jesus, to carry us when we can't carry ourselves, to get us where we need to go, to encourage us, to say, come on, you're doing this together. These are good friends. They get him to Jesus. Verse 20, and what does Jesus say? When he saw their faith. Again, whose faith? The faith of the man who's paralyzed? The faith of the friends. When he saw their faith, he speaks a word of healing. We're going to get to that, though. But again, your friends will determine the direction of your life. I remember my dad telling me, growing up, like, who you are will be determined by the books you read and the people you hang out with. And that is so true. The kind of media we input into our heads, the reels we're watching, the TV shows, the books we're reading, the podcasts we're listening to, that combined with the people we spend time with will determine the direction of our lives. And so we have to be careful with the kind of people we're spending our time with. Now again, everyone knows why these four buddies bring their friend to Jesus. He is paralyzed. He needs healing. Everyone knows that, right? They're expecting again, all right, Jesus can either do a word of healing or maybe like the leper, he's going to do a touch of healing, right? They're like, he's coming to get healed. Verse 20 though. And when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Now in this moment, everyone is disappointed. The Pharisees are upset because they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Who is this man to forgive sins? Getting your sins forgiven is an expensive thing. You gotta go to the temple, you gotta sacrifice this animal, you gotta go through all these things, right? The friends are disappointed because they're like, thanks Jesus, but we brought him here to get healed, not to get his sins forgiven. The man who can't walk, he wants to work, right? He's disappointed. So everyone's disappointed because Jesus forgives this man's sins. Verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They're thinking, you can't do this. Again, this is one of those stories that says Jesus is not just a good teacher. He did not give us that option. Right? Maybe you've heard it. Like, there's three options about Jesus. He's either a horrible liar, forgiving sins when he knows he's not God. He's either a crazy person, a lunatic, going around receiving worship, forgiving sins. Or he is Lord. He's God clothed in flesh. He died on this cross for our sins, and then he rose again. Those are the only options. He's either a terrible, horrible monster, and then you cannot say he's a good teacher with good teachings. Or he is who he said he is. Because you don't have to walk around forgiving sins if you're just a good teacher. So Jesus, he forgives their sins. Everyone is let down. But see, what Jesus knew is that oftentimes what we want the most is not what we need the most. Jesus knew that this man's primary need was to have his sins forgiven. And friends, that's our primary need as well. We think we need healing. We think we need a fresh word of encouragement from the Lord, that we need direction or all these other things. But the thing we need most is forgiveness of our sins. That's why Jesus came, to forgive our sins, because we were separated from God. And Jesus knows that. That this man's primary need is that he is an enemy of God. He is outside. He needs his sins forgiven. That, our friends, that is our primary need. But oftentimes what we want the most is not what we need the most. And see, Jesus knows that. Sometimes we come to him begging him for this thing, but he says no, because that's not what you need the most. You need this. You need to learn patience. You need to learn long-suffering. You need to learn to cultivate a life of prayer. And if I answer that prayer too soon, you won't grow that in your life. If I change these circumstances in your life, you won't grow in mercy. You won't grow in grace, in leaning on me, right? So many things we ask, we beg Jesus for, but he knows you think that's what you want the most, but that's not what you need the most. So sometimes I think Jesus delays answers because he knows that's not what we need the most right now. See, Jesus is way more concerned about growing character in us, those of us who are followers of Christ, than just having an easy life. We're called to do hard things. And to do hard things, we gotta grow. We gotta become more like Jesus, right? We gotta learn these spiritual habits. Verse 22. And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk?'" Jesus is like, guys, I'm not so out of touch here. I know why this friend is here. I know why they dropped him down. He needs some healing. But I know something they don't know, that his pressing need is not his primary need and not his deepest need. He needs to have his sins forgiven. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." You can write this down, that the reason people, that Jesus healed people physically, so they would know he had the authority to heal people spiritually. He did all these works to show he is the Son of God. He is the one who can forgive our sins, who can bridge us to God, who can make us right with him, that we can receive forgiveness and righteousness through Jesus, that he has the power to do that. He says, "Pick up your bed and go home." What's your bed tonight? What's the crutch in your life that you've been leaning on too much? That you don't even realize it's something that has become a part of your identity and just who you are. Maybe it's hurt from the way what you've gone through in your past. Maybe it's disappointment. Maybe it's just this thing that you've held on to. And Jesus wants not just to forgive your sins, but to find true healing. And this bed, you're going to give it to Jesus and just get rid of it. I think it's so easy for us to cling to our weaknesses and those things that are holding us back. I don't know what that is in your life, but I just want to encourage you. What is it that you need to walk away from? And immediately he rose up before them, picked up what he'd been lying on, and he went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Now, I think Jesus was a little disappointed. See, this celebrated the temporary healing and didn't acknowledge the eternal forgiveness of the sins. But see, through Jesus, we can be forgiven. Through Jesus, those people around us who don't know him can receive forgiveness. There are people all around us that their deepest primary need is to have their sins forgiven, because right now, they're headed towards an eternity apart from him. And we can so easily lose sight of that. What's your greatest need? If you've not yet experienced God's forgiveness, then that's your greatest need. And Jesus gives this gift freely to all of us, saying all you have to do is receive it. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That you can give him your sin, your past, your brokenness, and in exchange, he gives you his righteousness, his resume. You become adopted into God's family, a son, a daughter. If you have not taken that step, that's your next step. But what I find in the story is that people who've been found by Jesus, they also want to go find people for Jesus. Those of us who have met Jesus, we should have this desire that others meet him too, right? Like when we find a good restaurant or when we see a movie, like no one pays us to talk about it. At least for myself personally, it's like I went and saw Dune 2 a couple weeks ago. It's really, really good. Not for everyone, but I think it's a great movie. Go see it, check it out, right? So like we talk about things that we that impact us. But so often I think we don't talk about Jesus because we've bought into this lie by the devil. Hey, don't talk about Jesus with your neighbors, with your friends, with your coworkers. Don't share that I'm religious. It can be a scary thing. And I'm proud of you, for some of you who I know have recently done that. To say, you know what? This is an important part of my life. And I am going to talk about this. That Jesus matters. And why can I have hope and peace in the midst of uncertainty? It's because of him. And how can I have strength? It's because of his Holy Spirit and his church that surrounds me and prays for me and encourages me. Church, we need to have this desire to see lost people be found by him. Amen? What are you willing to do to bring your friends to Jesus, to see people who are lost in our community find salvation and healing? Last week, we read out these same challenges. I'm going to lay them out again. Number one, invite someone to our Easter service. In 2 weeks, this is the time, this and Christmas, that people are more likely to invite someone. I know Pastor Josh has done this. He's got some friends coming, his neighbors. Right? Like, this is a great time. Hey, come to this. We're going to have a photo booth. Get a nice family photo. I love you got some friends who visited a long time ago. It's like still their profile picture, the Easter picture, right? Like, it's a good time. Get your Easter. They don't go to our church, right? We're going to have a little Easter egg hunt afterwards. We've done 5,000 eggs the last couple years. Way too many eggs. Our kids, like, they, like, get tired picking them up. We're going to do, like, a couple hundred this time, right? It's going to be manageable and reasonable. Everyone's, all the parents said amen. They don't need that much candy. But again, it's a great opportunity. We're going to talk about Jesus. We love Jesus, right? Number two, last week we talked about Jesus healing someone. This week, again, we're walking away through Luke. Jesus heals. I want to encourage you, if you've never done it, lay hands on someone, pray for them. Some of us, we grew up charismatic. Where's my Pentecostals, charismatics in the room? We love raising our hands. Yeah, right? For us, this is easy, right? Bam, put a hand on it. Some of you, though, you're like, I grew up Lutheran, Catholic, whatever. I don't know, this is crazy. But James says, right? The prayer offered in faith will heal. Like, we lay our hands. It's not something weird. And pray for someone. We've talked about this, too. Like, being an advocate, that's just a fancy word of, like, you're standing between. Maybe you have a friend, a relative, they're struggling. And so you're going to stand in the gap for them by saying, hey, I'm going to be their advocate before Jesus, and you're going to lay hands on me. And even though they live in California, I'm going to pray for them this way. Let's be a praying church, amen, that's not afraid to just lay a hand on it. Our community group on Tuesday, I love that. We can lay hands on Amanda and pray for her. Right? We all have stuff going on. Let's take a moment. Let's pause. Let's be a church that does this, that's not weird. And number three, walk around your neighborhood. Pray for healing. Pray for salvations. This is something we can all do. Now, today, it's super windy. I didn't go for a prayer walk today. I'm just telling you, right? But a lot of times, it is nice. Pray for your neighbors by name as you go by. If you don't know their names, make that on your to-do list for this next year. Get to know their names. But at the very least, just as you're walking down the street, pray, God, bring healing. Bring salvation. Bring revival. I forget what I shared last week. It's been a long week sometimes. But again, at this conference, we went to Exponential. I met some pastors from Norway. And we heard from a pastor from Zimbabwe and India and Ukraine. And them being like, hey, we're concerned about the American church and where you guys are headed. We're praying for you. And then we had the Zimbabwe pastor and the pastor from India, like, together praying over all of us pastors. Like, your country's headed in a direction that's not great right now. Let's let this be a wake-up call. Again, politically, whatever you think, we can agree. Like, there are things in our nation that are not going good. And people need Jesus, amen? Let's be a praying church. I know some of you guys don't like praying out loud, but hey, this is, you can walk and pray by yourself. Wear an earbud. People think you're on the phone talking to someone else. Like, it's okay, right? Just walk and pray. If you're someone who's been filled with the Holy Spirit and you have the gift of tongues, just walk and speak in tongues. I'm freaking out some of you guys, but hey, try it if you've never done it. Ask God for a prophetic word. I don't know. Ask God, hey, let's see healings in our community groups, all right? Right? Wouldn't that be amazing? We believe this is real. All right, so now I kind of tease this up in my email. Normally we kind of close, and I kind of preach a slightly shorter message. One of the things I've been thinking about and praying about, just like, God, where are we at in our season as a church? Like, I never want to be comfortable. I never want to just sit and be like, this is all fine. We're just going to stay here, right? So, like, what could we do even differently? And so I've just been thinking about our church size, who we are. Again, we have a church of about 45 adults, 10 teenagers, you know, 36 kids. Like, this is who we are, right? It's kind of the size of us. And I thought, you know, Sundays shouldn't just be about phenomenal worship team. Can you give our worship team a hand? Like, you guys are amazing. Love you all so much. They put so much time into it. They're awesome. And hearing a sermon, right? Part of this, I want us to community, but also, this is like training and equipping. And I think the size of this means we can have a little bit more interaction. So something I want to try, because we love trying things here, amen? Just what does it look like? So Kristen's going to come up, give her a hand. Josh is going to help her move the easel because it's going to fall apart. It's kind of, it's portable, so you know. There you go. And what I want to do is, again, kind of different. And you don't have to, like, speak into the mic or anything. You just call it out there. If you're watching the live stream, see, I told you. I know. That's what you get when you buy an easel that can, like, fold up. But we'll try to call it out. So we're going to prime the pump here. This is where you guys get to respond. I know some of you are tired. So we might be bringing back coffee, I think, in the afternoons just to get some going, right? So that's all right. That's all good. So to prime the pump here, what we're going to do is, hey, I just want us to just, we're talking about Jesus. We want people to meet Jesus. What do you love about Jesus? And I want you guys to kind of just call it out. And Chris is going to write down. And we're going to start there. And we're going to kind of, we'll lead through this. So just, yeah, go ahead. Just call it out. What do you love about Jesus? Yeah, Sandy. Unconditional love. Love that. Truth. Faithful. Hang on, we're going to go a little slower. Kristen's amazing, but yeah, faithful. What? Forgiving, yeah. What else? What do I love about Jesus? Hope. Protector. Salvation. Grace, yeah. I was thinking, so part of this is like, if we want people to meet Jesus, like, this sounds weird, but right? But like, how do we talk about Jesus? How do we advertise Jesus? So let's think about, like, what do we love about Jesus, right? If we want to introduce him, here's the thing. Like, when we started our church 8.5 years ago, things were a little different, right? We did some mailers. People would show up in the gymnasium. The world changed 4 years ago. just election, COVID, riots, all this stuff, right? And I think a lot of churches and pastors are just struggling. It's like, and they talk about this at the conference even, hey, what used to work doesn't work anymore. I used to be able to pull this lever, get this result. That doesn't work anymore. We've tried mailers. We've tried door hangers. We've tried block parties. We've tried catered dinners. We've tried all the things, right? But what I want now is we're going to start workshopping some ideas together. We're not going to try to solve the thing tonight, but we're in this together, amen? God's church, priesthood of all believers, amen? And so I just want to, let's get some things like, when we're talking about Jesus, well, what are some things that, again, a couple more of like, what do we love about Jesus that we want people to know who haven't met Jesus yet or only have this idea of Jesus that maybe they heard 20, 30 years ago in their church growing up? It's like, no, forget that picture of Jesus. What's the Jesus we love? Like, again, what are the things we love about this Jesus? Peace, yeah. Ooh, that's good. Safe for those who need safety and fierce for those who need that. That come to Jesus moment. That's right. That's good. A kick in the pants. Yes, Jesus does that sometimes. Yeah. Emily. He's approachable. Yeah, that's good. That's good. He's a healer. Yes. Always there. Yes. Yes. Steady. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Yeah, that's good. Not judgmental. Yeah. Not just mental either. He's physical, he's spiritual, he's emotional. Yeah. Yeah. All right, good. I think this is a good place to start. Tear off that page. He speaks Spanish. There you go. Yeah. All right, so now we're gonna tweak it slightly. And here's what I want to hear from you. What do you love about your church? What do you love about Mosaic? If you were to say, like, man, these are the things we want people to know about us. I talk to other pastors and say, man, the people at Mosaic, at least my opinion, I could be wrong, they love Mosaic. They love their community group. Like, and so it's like, what are those things that you're like, man, I wish more people could hear about Jesus and like would come into our church and discover what I've found? So like, what do you love about Mosaic, or how has your life even kind of changed, or what have you discovered about yourself? What makes you come back at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday afternoons, or do your community group and carve out time on a Tuesday night or Wednesday night or a Thursday night, or get your kids off to school and then over to Pastor Amber's house on a Wednesday, or at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday or Friday morning, depending on how we're feeling for men's Bible study, right? Like, what makes you do that? Amber. We just need to send out a mailer with a picture of Pastor Amber on it. She's not in here, right, Owen? She's pretty great, yeah. She's awesome, yeah. Yes, I agree, yes. Friendships and community, yeah. Eric, there we go, thank you. Eric Hedberg, that's right. He is great. Yeah, he is great. We don't take ourselves too seriously. That's right. We've said that. Like, if you are looking for a super formal church, we're not the place for you. Like, that's just not who we are. Authentic, yeah. Speaks truth. Authentic. Preaching. Relatable. There you go. Yeah. Worship, yeah. Authenticity. Anything else? Yeah, for sure. For outsiders, yeah. Well, and like a family, yeah. Well, and that's one of the reasons we planted 8.5 years ago is Chris and I had grown up in this area, and we were gone, for me, 10 years or so. She came back from college, and we were in Colorado, Wisconsin, came back, and what we found was all our friends had found, like, new circles. And it can be hard to break into Minnesota if you're new from outside the area, right? And so it's like, man, we want to plant a church for people who, for whatever reason, haven't connected with other churches, or are new to the area, because it can just be hard sometimes. So anyways, that's one of the reasons we want Californians to feel welcome and Illinoisans. Ooh, ecumenical. That's also a trigger word for some people, but broader kingdom of God, yeah, kingdom-minded. Yeah, that's good. A safe place, yeah. This, yeah. Yeah, that's true. What does she write down? Unorthodox, yeah. Collaborative. Where you're known, yeah. Appetizer Wednesdays in your small group. Next steps. Can you just, what, tell me more. Yeah, nice. Yeah. I love that. For those that don't want to speak out, we leave them alone. That's so good. Yes. That's so good. That's so good. Introverted. Pastor Amber's pool. Discipleship, yeah. The Green Book. I think they do. They do food at least, and most groups do meals. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, building community by eating together and playing together. Yeah. Yeah. Vision, values, mission. Yeah, we like food and eating together, sharing it. No, but honestly, again, like I said, like 90% of us are in a community group, and those of you who aren't, it's okay. No shame and guilt. It's all totally fine. But I do love that like knowing 90% of our church or so shares a meal together during the week, opens God's word. Like, how beautiful is that? Or the mom's group, at least they do some kind of food, I think, and snacks and stuff. And right. Coffee for sure. Right? Totally, yeah. So we're going to do this a little bit more often. Again, just in collaboration. Part of this is just like a reminder of like, hey, priesthood of all believers, right? There shouldn't be this big separation between those of us up here and out there. We're in this together. Like Paul speaks, y'all, right, are the body of Christ. We all are the body of Christ. And there are times, sometimes your leaders can be like, I got no more answers. I'm going to Jesus. And so let's talk. Let's brainstorm. What can we do to help people find healing and hope through Jesus Christ? That's why we're here, right? How do we keep encouraging each other, spurring one another on to love and good deeds? And so, again, this week in your community groups, why don't you talk about that? And just say, like, how do we get the word out? And if our mission, if what we want is to help people find hope and healing through Jesus, if we want people to grow in their faith, to be discipled, what's the best way we keep doing that? Right? We're not afraid of mixing things up. Like, we've tried it all, right? We've tried smoke machines and lights in a high school auditorium. We've tried metal folding chairs in an elementary school gymnasium. We've tried meeting in a covenant church. We've tried meeting in a Moravian church. We've tried it all, right? Because we don't fall in love with our methods. It's the mission of reaching people for Jesus. Amen? That's why we're here. So, in your community, I just want to talk about that. And we got a little bit of extra time because I wasn't sure how long this would take. So, Matt, I'm going to throw you on the spot. That's why Matt and I work great, because Matt's like, okay, sure, whatever, right? Most of the time. So we're going to do a closing song in a little bit. But before that, I want to get us out of our comfort zones, literally. We're going to stand up. Matt, could you lead us in whatever the last worship song we did? I always forget the name of it. Build My Life. Just acoustic guitar. And I just want us in a circle. Singing this to each other. Let's build my life upon his love. So I'm going to pray. Matt, grab his acoustic. We're going to get out of our chairs. We're going to form a big circle right around here. I think that'll work. And then we'll go back to our chairs and do our closing song together. Sound good? I'm going to pray to close this. Give Matt time to get his acoustic guitar. And even, I think, no mic. Yeah, just the voices. I don't know if you want to drop it down a key or two, but whatever you want to do. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you are the one who enters into our brokenness and mess. And you bring healing, you bring hope, you bring forgiveness of sins. And that's truly our deepest need. So for those of us who have received your grace and forgiveness, we say thank you. God, we pray for anyone who has not yet taken that step, that they would choose to follow you, to receive your free gift of grace and forgiveness, and to walk in your love. And God, I just pray that you'd give us a fresh inspiration and passion to see those who are far from you, to come to know you, that we'd be inspired by these four friends who were willing to do whatever it took to get their friend to Jesus. God, let us have that same attitude. God, let us build our lives, our families, our church upon your love. In me, we pray. Amen. All right, so let's stand up.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Mosaic Maple Grove podcast. I want to encourage you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your soul. Let Jesus do the deep work that only He can do. A special thank you to everyone who gives to Mosaic Maple Grove. Your generosity allows this message to go out into the world. You can be a part of the Mosaic Tribe by going to mymosaicchurch.com. You can also subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with your friends and family. Thanks again for listening. Grace and peace, my friends.